There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome back to the Not So Fit Couple podcast with your hosts, Lucy Haldon.
I'm Benjamin Haldon.
I sound very poorly today. And it's because I am very poorly today, but we're still doing a podcast. So please excuse my husky voice. I'm really not sounding too good at the moment.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Welcome back to how many weeks are we? Did we miss any weeks?
We've not done a podcast for 3 weeks.
But did we miss any?
Nope.
Look at that.
I think we missed 1 week this year, have we, Carl?
Yep, just the one.
We would have actually, it would have been this week that we missed, but we came home 3 days early.
Yeah, but I was going to plant another podcast on my own, wasn't I? So.
But it would have been Thursday's, tomorrow's episode.
We're not going to speak too much about Everest and Basecamp this week because we're doing a special episode with Lucy Haldon and Meg Davis next Monday.
Oh, we've never been referred to as that before.
What do you mean?
Lucy Haldon and Meg Davis.
Yeah. Not the Davis sisters anymore.
I mean, we were when we were away. We had some nicknames, you know, that people gave us. Can I just share the nicknames? Me and Meg were quite, you know, fit in our group. And the other group members, so we were either called the Cyber Sisters.
Why?
Just because we were just really far ahead. Steroid Sisters.
Why Cyber Sisters, though?
Because we had Oakley sunglasses on with, like, a connection wire thing,
yeah,
and the wires were sticking out our buffs like this. It looked like AI, so it's like we were like robotic, like how fast we were. And then it was the Steroid Sisters.
What?
We were just really just we had a lot of energy. We were quite good on
you,
the track.
You returned to your old name, D-Ball Davis.
D-Ball Davis. So Steroid Sisters, Cyber Sisters. There's a few more. Meg will have to just relay them, but that's what we were known as. I can't remember what else it was. They were like, oh, that AG1 you're taking. It's obviously got something in it.
Oh, yeah, that's what's making you steam ahead. It's not the countless years of fitness in the gym and training and running. It's just that AG1.
Yeah, it was the AG1. The AG1 actually did help, though. That's not even an ad. You want all those nutrients. But anyway, we won't talk about it this week.
Pills, yeah.
We won't talk about it this week. We're going to discuss it next week with Meg because we were going to do it today, but I get Meg's point of just needing a little bit more time to absorb everything. Like, I've had a very slow couple of 2 days, an emotional 2 days, and just been crying a lot. So I think we do it next week when we're more level-headed.
It takes time to integrate back into society as normal as well when you've been away for a long time and trying to throw yourself back in.
Yeah.
What's up, been doing everything around the house?
Do you know what? I actually came back and then the house was spotless. Like, washing was done.
Oh, yeah.
He had hoovered.
However, what did I do? What did I put in the washing machine?
Oh, my fucking Christ. Carl, do you know about this? So I got back late Monday night and I just thought, I'm going to put all my stuff in the wash now because it's just, it honestly fucking hummed. Like, the smell was just not okay. So I was like, I'm going to shove it all in, then we can relax a bit. I went to the wash basket, I opened it because there's a few bits that you just hadn't taken out. And I pulled out a little tablet and I said, what is that? I was like, why is that in the washing basket? And you were like, it's a washing tab. It's a fucking dishwasher tab.
It doesn't fucking matter.
No,
Ben.
It doesn't matter. It's like washing your hair with body wash. It still does the same thing.
That's not true.
Right, we have washing tablets next to the
machine. No, we don't.
On
a
shelf.
What we have is Lucy takes everything out of its packets and puts it into glass jars.
With labels?
No.
With labels?
No.
They have labels.
They don't have labels.
Okay, let me just continue. So I pull it out, I say to Ben, I was like, what's that? And he's like, it's a washing tablet. It's a fucking dishwasher tablet. I was like, have you been using that for your clothes? He said, yeah. And I was like, they literally live under the sink. I was like, we've got washing tablets next to the washer. But Ben was just so like, yeah. I was like, what if your clothes, you've not been cleaning your clothes for the past 3 weeks.
It's still soap. It's still clean.
No, it's not.
There it is.
Dishwasher.
Yeah, salt though, isn't it?
It's not. It's dishwasher tablets are not the same as washing washing tablets.
It's still clean.
It's not. Liz, it's like lime.
What do you think people used to do with the clothes years ago? Did you get a bar of soap and you clean clothes?
Yeah, but you've not. It's not salt. It's not soap. It's salt.
It is soap as well.
Cal.
I mean, it's majority like salt, I think, to make the water less hard.
It's, but it had big yellow salt soap things in as well, our ones. They weren't like those blocks of powder. They have gel in them, which is the soap.
Yeah, they're a little bit nice.
And
it still smells nice tablets. Anyway.
Ben, can you share the nice DM message you got?
Oh, yeah. God, Jesus Christ. I was at Chris,
give a bit of context for the podcast.
I was at Chris Williamson's show the other day, and basically I tagged Lucy in a post. And it was...
I thought it was hilarious, by the way.
I didn't know whether you could put cream in with the whitewash because Lucy usually does all the washing.
Also, by the way, that's not even a sexist thing. I just do the washing. I don't mind doing it. Ben does all the cooking. Like, it's and not... The and gardening, the gardening. Yeah. It's not...
It just annoys you. People are just fucking so pathetic.
But, you know, so Ben had Google searched... Can I put cream clothes in with a white wash and put like, haha, Lucy Davis at Lucy Davis Fit, come home. And I thought, fucking hilarious. Everyone else thought it was hilarious.
And then some girl.
Except this one DM'd me. Girl.
Is this why you want her back? Really? Disgusting. Stay home while she's conquering the world. This is where you deserve to be and where she deserves to be, on top of the world. You have so many complexes because she is more successful than you. Start therapy. I mean, if anyone needs to start therapy, if this is how offended you got by me saying, Lucy, does the cream wash go in with the white wash? You need to fucking think about therapy yourself.
And also, that wasn't...
I just replied saying, fuck off, you gimp.
But like, also... It was a funny, it was so freaking funny and I needed a bit of a laugh when I was away. I know that's not the sole reason Ben wanted me home. Like, I'm not offended.
Yeah, also, are people going to get offended because I kill the spiders and do the gardening? And
I just...
It's just, some people are super woke.
Yeah, so Ben was washing the clothes with dishwashing tablets.
some people...
I like how Ben's just really brushing that off. Like, that is... You were so normal about it. I was like, that is... It's also, bear in mind, the tablet that Ben's been using, they've not been...
Dissolving.
I pulled out a full tablet.
No, the other ones were dissolving. That one didn't dissolve because I did three washes on the same wash because once I did it with cold water.
Yeah.
By accident.
Yeah.
Once I did it on a 30-minute wash. No, once I did it on a normal wash. But then when I took them out, all the ring on the washing machine was dirty. So when I pulled my white top off, the dirt just went all over my top. So I had to wash it again. So three washes on the same thing.
Yeah. It's good to be home.
Some people messaged me after that anyway, saying, I don't know how you deal with people on the internet. I think the thing to remember with that is, and one thing that I like to remember is that in terms of thinking that people don't like you or not doing things because you think you're not going to be liked, is to remember that most people don't even like themselves.
Mm. What?
That was wasted on you.
It was. Do you know why? Because my brain cells are not all there.
If you're scared about people not liking you when you do things, just remember that most people don't even like themselves.
Yeah, that's true. That's sad, isn't it?
It is very sad. But if you're worrying about people not liking you, just remember that fact that not many people even like themselves.
I also, before we got into the dishwasher tablet conversation, I was going to compliment you saying when I came up the stairs, you had hoovered... You had hoovered.
I know.
That was just Carl, great.
I was hoovering regularly, wasn't I?
Day
Do
and
you
day
love
out,
hoovering
genuinely.
Now? How nice
I just,
is hoovering?
I just like having a clean space. It makes me feel, I like the book Essentialism because I like minimalism. I don't like a lot of things being around. I realised.
How much I do when I was away.
No, I realised that as soon as you got back, the house was shit all.
No, Ben, I had a few parcels that had arrived as I arrived.
There's not one single parcel that was here when you were away, and it was great.
It was also a shit tip because I was unpacking 3 weeks' worth of trekking gear. Of course.
No, there was going to be stuff everywhere.
There's I've got a new little thing for my car boot. I've got a new little box for my car boot to put in essential items if you break down, such as a waterproof coat.
Is this a jab at me because I haven't got a car at the moment?
No, it wasn't actually. No. Waterproof coat, gloves, water, Nocco, snacks. car cleaning equipment, and it's all in a nice little neat box. And I had ordered it yesterday and it arrived. And that is why there was a cardboard box at the front of the house. Thank you very much. I am very tidy.
Yeah, I do like the idea of minimalism there. And I've mentioned this a couple of times. If anyone hasn't read the book or listened to the book, if you're running or whatever, Essentialism is a great book.
Mm.
It's about being a minimalist. It's about being a minimalist with your environment. It's about being a minimalist with your diary. It's about being a minimalist with the way that you communicate with other people so that you get more of your time back, more of your energy back, and it's not wasted on tasks that are potentially in your life, in your diary, that if you took them out, it wouldn't make any difference to your trajectory or with your productivity.
You've read that a few times. I've only read it once. I've read it. Yeah. I feel like I didn't relate as hard to you, but I understand why you related to it. Did we want to answer some questions?
Yeah.
That was actually the point of today's podcast.
Other thing for me, I'm celebrating today.
Fucking hell, I thought I'd missed something there. What are you celebrating?
I'm celebrating.
22nd of November.
New computer.
69 days sober.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
69 days.
Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
I had some alcohol when I was away.
Did you? You didn't tell me this.
I'm not going sober, so I don't think it's... To be fair, I've not drank since the wedding. No, since Ash and Loz's wedding.
That's a lie.
Why is it?
You drank with Jay and Ella in London?
No, I did. Oh, I had a glass, yeah.
It's not, I'm not judging you, by the way.
No, I know. But so when we got back for the final meal, me and Meg had a red wine each to like clink, clink, celebrate with everyone for the final meal when we got back on, I think it was Sunday night. And this red wine was like see-through. It was like juice. So we had like two of these and it tastes like juice. I actually don't think it was alcohol.
Probably wasn't.
But yeah, I had a drink.
Well, I did, we did an event this week. When I say we, me and Cal, for men's mental health for Movember on Monday. We got 12 guys and we went walking at Mofama with the handles that I did the world record with. So 12 guys, £100, unbreakable spirit. We were the fellowship of the kings. That's exactly what we were.
Me and Meg were fucking Frodo and Sam.
You were, to be fair.
When we were away, that's all we kept saying.
We were trekking up a little tiny molehill and you were trekking up Everest, but it was really good. And one of the conversations that we were having amongst us, I had with a couple of the guys, actually, was about a lot of them had also gone...
Sorry.
I'd also gone... It's not celibate. What's the word?
Sober.
Yeah, why couldn't I think about that?
Just celibate's where you don't have sex before marriage.
So a lot of them had gone sober, but a lot of them had felt judgment from friends who, when they'd gone sober, there was still a stigma behind it. I think this is starting to change a lot. I think the more that the sort of Hoopmans, Chris Williamsons, Steven, the podcast coming out, speaking about some of the benefits of it. And I mean, I'm not going to go sober forever because I think I just want to do it to get my balance back, which I think I'd lost with alcohol. But I think with the rise in these sort of podcasts, the more it's accepted that people want to self-improve and develop and not be peer pressured into drinking. And I think why should people, especially if people... I mean, the thing that I always think of now is how much of life you waste, or how many Sundays you waste from just being hungover.
Yeah, I've got a fear of hangovers. They really just don't... I really just don't like it at all. It makes me very anxious. I've not been anxious for a very long time. And the thought of having a hangover really just doesn't sit well with me. So I'd rather just not. I'd rather have like a glass of red.
Yeah.
I'll have mulled wine over Christmas and I love that and I enjoy it. But to get absolutely fucking nailed, I don't think it's part of what I want to do.
Me and Grant were just drinking 0% beers on the weekend.
I know you. That's so
but that
cute.
Was great because there was three lads out and all three of us were drinking non-alcoholic beers. And it was just to have one of those in your hand and sip on, it was almost, I don't know if you call it a placebo, but it was just kind of the thing of having something in your hand. You know that a lot of this sort of addiction with cigarettes is just the habit of having a cigarette in your hand.
Mm.
It was almost like that.
Yeah,
it was almost just having something in your hand to kind of pass the time and have a drink of. So yeah, that was interesting. But I didn't know you could get alcohol-free wines, which you can as well.
Yeah, you can.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting.
I was just having a scroll through. One of the questions.
Are we going into our list of questions?
I think we should.
Should we play a little tune first, Carl?
Have we got a tune queued up, maybe?
I don't know.
Oh, that is embarrassing. Kyle, stop it. I'm embarrassed.
Listen to questions. Listen to questions.
I hated every moment of that. That shouldn't be a thing. Ew, that was like a weird jingle.
Try a new one, Kyle. We need to make one up.
Oh, God. Go on,
go again.
Oh, not that. No, horrible. That one's cute.
There we go. Listen to questions. Fairy twinkle.
This question. They put kind of base campy, and I get why, because it's not related to it. What they put? I want to know what Ben got up to when you were away, other than Tesla shopping.
Tesla shopping?
Do you remember the Tesla?
Oh, shit, yeah. So when
this
Lucy
isn't fucking funny. This was not fucking funny. I was not in the fucking mood for this.
I messaged Lucy.
I'm just going to get context to show everyone what I was currently doing. Up.
I messaged Lucy saying, I think I'm putting a deposit down on a Cybertruck, babe. And then she put, I'm chilling in Kathmandu, because that was response back from something else. And then she put, what are you on about?
Bear in mind, because this is context of what I was doing, where I was doing.
You already have a car.
Hold it back towards your faceless. Yeah, I do.
Carrying my bag on my back.
You already have a car. And I put, yeah, but I think we need more of a truck. Be good for a gym bag and stuff. Kiss, kiss, kiss. No, we don't. What? I'm not in the mood.
I wasn't in the mood because, right.
And then I put, I can pay now on Apple Pay for £100 for the
deposit. And then he sent me a screenshot of actually where you can pay a £100 deposit. So basically that morning, our flight from Lukla to Kathmandu was cancelled because the Nepal president, prime minister, had landed in Lukla and everything stopped. So our flight was cancelled. And when I say you want to leave Lukla, you want to fucking leave and go back to Kathmandu to just be warm and have a shower and all of that. Our thing got cancelled and we were going back and forth trying to sort out basically a helicopter back to Kathmandu. Cost a lot of money. None of us were in the mood. And then Ben fucking chirps up saying, I think I'm going to buy a Tesla. And I thought, you're an idiot. And I could not. And I was walking with this massive 20-kilo bag on my back, things on the front, running to get this helicopter thing. And Ben is texting me saying, I think I'm going to get a Tesla. And I was like, I'm not in the fucking mood. Don't even take like a Cybertruck. I was like, that's even worse. I was like, please, please don't do that. And I was really stressed because I'd also then turned my 3G on, 4G, whatever you call it, gone off Wi-Fi, and it was charging me about £5 every 5 seconds to tell Ben to not put a deposit on a Cybertruck. And I was so annoyed.
Still might get on there because they're all quite cool.
Absolutely not. I think it's ridiculous.
The matte black ones.
That's not going to fucking fit in these roads, is it?
It will.
It's absolutely ridiculous. It really frustrated me. And I thought, you've got a car, sell your car then and get a Cybertruck if you really want one. Like I was so angry. And Ben knew he'd piss me off. He was like, don't worry. I'm not going to get one. I love you. Bye.
I think we do need one because you can fit all your gym bags in.
I don't think you fit your gym bag in my car. Anyway, yeah, so that was one of the questions. We will move away from the Everest Base Camp thing but a lot of people actually are asking, what did you get up to that you don't usually do when I wasn't around?
Went the driving range a couple of times.
You could do that with me.
The only thing I struggle with sometimes is I struggle with balance. What I mean by that is because we work from home, I just ended up working a lot in the evenings.
Mm.
What else are doing? I pretty much just worked, which is not very good. Didn't do much else.
You had a few friends come and stay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I had a weekend with...
Like your boy mates.
Yeah, Elliot came over. Elliot Burton came over for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Grant came over the weekend, went go-karting is tough, you know. We'd go-karted for 30 minutes. After we finished of it, I feel like I'd been shagged for 30 minutes. I was absolutely knackered. My forearms were, like, pumped to death because I was just focusing straight for 30 minutes. Now I understand why the F1 drivers are so tired.
Mm.
After a race.
Yeah, because it's 2 hours.
In the heat. And it's more the concentration, the focus. It's crazy. So I did that. I did a couple of double training days because I'm training for the Hyrux at the moment in Manchester. I was doing a couple of double training days, which has been a bit of a nightmare because I'm ill again this week, which has pulled me back. But yeah, apart from that, just training, bit of golf, bit of go-karting, just bro stuff.
Yeah, pro stuff. It was nice. Yeah. I feel.
Wow, we went to watch Chris Williamson's show. That was really good.
Me and Cal. You watched the show.
That was great.
Went
for a steak. Yeah, it was good.
Hey, I'm just going to stop this podcast. There are 35% of you who listen on a weekly basis. but aren't subscribed to the Not So Fit Couple podcast. And you need to subscribe because it helps the podcast a lot in terms of who we can get on, who you request, and what guests and where we can film.
Wherever you are listening or watching this episode, if you've taken any value from any of the episodes that you've listened to this year, make sure that you please subscribe to the channel and make sure that you share it and tell your friends.
Back to the episode.
Do you fear getting older? Absolutely not. I don't fear getting older. I think I'm quite excited to keep going through life.
I think I've not really thought about it until this year.
Fear getting older. I just turned 27. I don't know if there would be an age where you start fearing getting older.
I've started to think about death more.
I don't really think about death.
I've started to think about it more now.
If I died tomorrow, I'm not scared. I'm not scared about dying. I don't want to, by the way. It's black magic there.
Yeah, it's on top of the list to do.
But it doesn't scare me. If I had died on that trip, I'm not scared. Do you know what I mean? I don't fear that.
But I started to think about it more. I think I've started to think about it more in terms of...
Also, that wasn't the question. It was fear getting older.
I think I've started to think about it more when I'm thinking about a fulfilling potential. The thing that scares me is not doing the things that I need to do and should be doing to accomplish the things that I want to accomplish. I don't want to reach the end of my life and go, I could have done that, but I didn't apply myself. I didn't do the things that I need to do in order to be in that zone, in that environment. I skipped out on this and I skipped out on that. I don't want to think back on life and think, I had the potential and I had the opportunities, but you know what? I just didn't grab them. I let them pass me by. That's, I think, how death motivates me to take the opportunities and drive me forward and take action and not being scared of getting things wrong and just giving things a go, because I don't want to think, do you know what? I've got regrets of not grasping life by the balls.
Yeah. It's a very deep question. I have changed a lot as a person coming back from that trip, which I'll explain more next week. And me and Meg kept talking about it, like in terms of like mum and dad, and we look at what they do now. That doesn't fear me getting to their age or fit, because they're now living their best life. And I think you go through different stages of life. Every year things change, you grow as a person, you get older, new things happen, you go through different stages. But I think each stage brings a new presence in your life and what it will be. And I don't think you should fear that. I think you should take it as an opportunity rather than being scared. It's the inevitable. You can't be scared of the inevitable. So you physically cannot be scared about getting older because it's going to happen. So I think you look at it in a different way. If you are scared of it, to change that perception of how you feel, because if you physically can't change getting older, it's something that naturally happens as humans. Look at it in a way that's going to benefit you, and you can seize opportunity rather than live in fear of something that's going to happen anyway.
I believe a lot of people, put off things, or we push life forward because we think, I'll be happy when, or I'll enjoy it, or the best part of my life will be when. The best time of your life is now.
Mm.
It's not when this happens or when that happens, because you'll always have a different if, but when, and we keep kicking the can further down the road and moving the goalposts further to say, I'll start enjoying life when, or I'll start living life when, and that'll be the best part of my life. And the best time of your life is now. So you need to just start enjoying the things rather than waiting for other things to happen, because it will just keep delaying and causing an onset of where you can actually start enjoying life. And it's very easy to do. I'll start enjoying life when I get this car, or when I've done this to the house, or when I've done this in my career, or when I've dropped 10 pounds, or when I've completed this event, or anything along those lines of just attaching your happiness to an achievement or an external validation. And I think that's really, it can be really sad.
Yeah, no, completely. And it's a very easy thing to do, especially when we're in such a materialistic world. it's one of those things that I think naturally it's like, oh, I feel this, I'll do that. It actually, that there's another question that's like quite similar to this topic, so I might ask that and then we go on to a different topic of conversation.
Do you know what? The quote I actually really like, it was a quote that Jimmy Carr gave on the Stephen podcast. And I think Stephen asked him what the meaning of life was. And Stephen was like, you just can't sum up, can you? And Jimmy Carr said, yeah, I can. And he said, life is simply enjoying the passing of time.
Yeah.
And that was a really good analogy.
It's a quote, yeah. It's nice.
It's Jimmy Carr's quote.
Yeah. So someone has asked, and it's just similar to kind of what we spoke about. What phase of your life would you say you're entering right now? And that's a really fun question.
Potentially parenthood.
Yeah, I think that's the first thing I think is, fingers crossed, it is anyway. Mm. God, you don't know, do you, until you start trying. But I feel like I'm entering a very peaceful stage of my life. I just feel very... Again, I think I've changed a lot as a person after that trip from what I've seen and the people that I met and the people that I saw doing things that I didn't even think was humanly possible, all of that. I feel very, I'm entering a phase of just content. I'm a bit like, this is how my brain feels.
I think you'll probably be in a weird place for a couple of weeks because you're adapting to a very different way of life.
What do you mean in comparison to where I've just been for the past 3 weeks? Yeah. And that's what I mean. I can't really articulate it very well, but I've never been to that side of the world before, if that makes sense. There's no better way to describe it. I've never seen what I saw in that side of the world, and I'm so thankful I have seen it because it really puts a lot of things into perspective in terms of like gratitude, different cultures, different life, and what we have and what some people don't have and how they're still so happy. So I feel like I'm going to this phase of life where it's like, fucking hell, just be. Like, keep living, like live life every moment. I don't know, I can't describe it. That was poorly described, sorry guys. But that's how I feel. And I think parenthood's a massive thing that's like here currently, that hopefully, fingers crossed, next year we will become parents.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not pregnant, by the way, guys, but I hope to be soon. So that, I think that's a whole new phase that we'll both be going through.
Yeah, it's something that I think's always scared me.
Parenthood.
Yeah.
I think you'll be a fantastic dad.
Yeah, it's a scary concept, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't know if I feel scared for it.
No, I don't now. I did for many years of my life thinking about it because probably wasn't ready.
Mm. I think we both weren't ready at like a certain... I was really paranoid about the whole thing, wasn't I? Until we got married and then I thought, oh,
mm-hmm.
I could have a baby right now. Like I feel fat. So I don't know. It's a really weird perception. Did you want to have a scroll?
Because I'm going to have a look at questions. Have you got any questions, Carl?
Yes, hello. So, one question came in that I thought was quite fun. So, Ben, describe Lucy in three words.
Three words.
And then obviously we'll fire this round the other way.
Three words. That's a tough one. I think I've done this before.
Mm.
I'd say altruistic.
Mm.
Very, because I'll explain why for each one. I think altruistic because you're very giving to other people without thought of reciprocation. I would have to say,
is this basing it just off personality?
Just if you had to describe them to an alien who's never met Lucy, three words.
That's a very good analogy actually, Carl, because I think we listened to it somewhere the other night about, you know, an alien was to look at Earth and take a bird's eye view. How do you think an alien would describe your life?
Yeah.
We'll go on to that question because I like it. I'd say beautiful.
Because
I think beautiful is a very good description rather than anything else, because I think beauty is a thing which is within and your external. And then I'd probably say the easiest one is influential. I think you have a very positive impact on women in fitness and for people wanting to better their lives and for people to take motivation from the daily things that you do and you put out.
Oh, that's fucking adorable. That was really nice, actually. I've never been... Altruistic's a nice one, I think. So do I have to do the, my three...
Let's go. Lucy, describe that in three words.
Describe that in three words. I'd say super determined.
That's two words.
Yeah.
I was actually just enhancing the word determined. Like really like determined in all aspects. Like fitness, business, life. From completely when I've known you, like the past 6-7 years, I don't know how long we've known each other. Yeah, completely determined. Handsome. I like the word handsome. Don't do that there.
Yeah, that wink was gross.
Yeah, that's not doing it. No, really handsome as in just everything about you. I know nobody's perfect. Stop winking. The winking. yeah, very handsome. And thoughtful. You're one of the most thoughtful people that I've ever met in my whole entire life. You always, like even coming, picking me up from the airport, you pick me up with flowers and coconut macaroons. And just really thoughtful. And when I was away, Ben had written me three letters that I didn't know I had. And so he texted me and said, look in your, I don't know how you did that by the way, because I looked through, I was so anal with my packing. Like that's so thoughtful. Ben had written me three letters, one for my birthday and then a couple of days after and a couple of days after that.
I don't think you explained that very well.
What do you mean?
I don't think you explained that very well.
I had one on the 10th, one on the 14th, no, one on the 19th.
I dated letters and put them in the front of your backpack for you to open on certain dates.
Yeah, that. Which is really thoughtful.
Proper undersell me, by the way.
No, it's really, really thoughtful. Yeah, so I think... And again, not just from that, in all aspects, you always think about how other people feel in certain situations. And that's an amazing
Thank
feature.
You.
You're welcome.
Let's move on to the alien question. Now, that wasn't a question, but I think it's really interesting. What do you think an alien would see if they were to watch your day-to-day life?
I don't know. What kind of alien?
Have anything you want?
I think they think my life was fun.
Why?
I don't know, because I'm quite smiley. So if they had a perception of looking at just at me, I'm always quite smiley. So I think they would assume that I have a really fun life. Or like, I'm quite like laughy. I laugh a lot. So I think they I don't know. I think I'd have a fun life.
So I'm looking at a different perspective. I think an alien would look at my day-to-day and think, why is he obsessed with fitness and why does he look at a square box with a light screen on for 10 hours a day?
Well, I think we're thinking about different aliens.
No, but they can't see this. All they can see, they've got a bird's eye view of what you're doing, so they're watching you.
Yeah, I still think my answer's solid. Like, I think they look at me smiling so much. And
but what are they thinking about your day-to-day?
It depends. My days are so different, aren't
they're
they?
Not really.
No, that's a lie. I don't know.
But apply this to anyone else who's listening, by the way. What do you think an alien would think of your day?
If they
watched you from when you got up until you finished work or you went to bed, what do you think an alien would think about your life? And they don't have any context because... they're not there listening to conversations. They can't hear what you're saying. They can just see what you're doing. So again, it's quite a nice concept because a lot of people in these days in the world, especially with social media, are judged on what they say and not what they do. And with the alien analogy, you're going to be judged on what you do.
Sorry.
Going to be judged on what you do and not what you say, which I think is what we should be held more accountable to is our actions.
Mm.
And Chris, the point that Chris was making is that would an alien see that you put higher priority on things that you don't actually want to be putting higher priority yeah. on? So if somebody's going to a job that they hate, day in, day out, the alien would think, well, why are they doing that?
Yeah.
That's quite an interesting concept.
The original place I saw that was in the book, The Ape That Understood Everything. The book starts with an alien concept of the world. So imagine that, not your life, but an alien was looking over the world. What would they think of the world? That's what the concept is. This is super, super interesting when you think about it.
Yeah, I can't think any more on that. I think they just think I'm a happy soul. Really good question here. Quite interesting. Is there any way you can be successful in fitness without a big social media following?
100%.
Yeah, 100%. Of course you can. I think when you have a larger social media presence, it is helpful. It's not the be-all, end-all, but it's helpful. You can't lie and say pushing to a bigger audience is not helpful to, I don't know, whether it's inspire more people or get clients or whatever you want to. That is helpful. There's no word about lying about it. But it's not a necessity to have the big following to be successful.
Who's probably one of the richest people? Like, I know success and money is different things, but who's one of the richest people you know in the fitness industry? Probably Ben Francis, doesn't have the biggest following in the world.
Yeah. 100, yeah, absolutely.
Obviously, he's got a big following, but that's developed over time. We didn't start with that.
Well, he doesn't have a million, for example.
Being a business owner and being an influencer are two different things. I know, like I said before, a lot of big influencers who don't make a lot of money. I know a lot of people with smaller accounts who make a lot of money. So don't put all the weight on... I think what the difficult thing with social media now is it's literally our measurable way of measuring social status, because it's literally got a number attached to it and everyone wants to have higher status.
Yeah.
And that metric is literally the visible way of saying that for a lot of people.
And also, the question is that any way you can be successful in fitness without a big following, having a big following does not mean you're successful. I think that's a really important thing. Just because you have followers does not mean success. I think that's... It gets into that whole thing of, oh, you put a post up and you get loads of likes and your ego is boosted by the number of likes. That's not, it's really hard, but I don't think that's success based off number of, it's a really hard one.
Depends what your metric of success is.
Yeah. If you're, obviously it's, you have goals of growth on social media and different things. You can absolutely have a smaller following and be as successful, as that's the word you want to use, as someone who has a million. It just might be a little bit easier for the person with a million, if that makes sense.
It depends whether you've got a product and you're looking to sell that product, because the information and the posts that you put out are going to be way different to someone who's trying to engage the algorithm to try and grow their account as big as possible, to work with brands and be paid by brands and have management. You can obviously do both, but they're two very different things, and the way in which you will communicate on social media will be very much dependent on that. If you are a PT or a business owner, the thing that you want to be trying to put out is thinking about what is your avatar, or what is your audience's problem that you're trying to solve. How are you helping your audience, and how are you helping the world with the content that you're putting out? And that's the thing that I'd be thinking about whenever I'm thinking about content.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's loads of different other ways you can do things. You might not have a massive social media following, but you could have an absolutely amazing email list and you're emailing people, or you might do in-person events, or you might do, I don't know, like charity work on the side or volunteering, or there's something else, and it's not solely based off a number. And I think it can be really hard to not compare to other people who are in the fitness industry, because it is a very saturated market now. And that's the most important thing. What I've done recently is I've muted a lot of accounts who I follow. Muted or restricted. Is it you mute them where you don't see anything? I think it's muted. And sometimes you just have to do that for your own self. If you find that you're comparing to other people and you're not taking inspiration, you're just being quite negative about other people you follow, you can just mute people and you can just do your own thing and don't worry too much about what other people are doing. I think that's quite an important point to make.
Okay. Who would win in a fight, a bear or a gorilla?
A bear. Are we talking grizzly bear?
Yeah.
You've no chance.
You're getting fucked up by a bear, aren't you?
That gorilla is being squashed by the bear.
This is why that scene's a bit stupid. In what's that film? Is it the...
Oh, Revenant.
Revenant, yeah. He's never fighting that bear off.
He's not fighting the bear off.
Maybe it's Winnie the Pooh, you get away with it, but that... A grizzly bear. Have you seen the size of some grizzly bears?
Grizzly bears are
Have you seen how loud they are as well? I'd shit myself just hearing that.
They absolutely don't sound like that.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
That's the best grizzly bear.
That's what is that noise?
The best grizzly bear noise you've ever heard.
No, it's more like a.
Go on, you do it. Go on, grizzly bear.
I don't think I can.
No.
Wait.
Go on. Right. You've been watching way too many cartoons with grizzly bears never silent.
I don't know how. It's absolutely not what you did.
What's a gorilla noise make? There we go.
Say, that was a grizzly bear. I thought, Cal, I thought that was you then. Yeah. That is a grizzly bear.
What's a gorilla do? No, one noise out of the mouth.
No, wait, that wasn't the noise.
Was
that
wasn't sex noise.
No, that wasn't. Huh? That wasn't the gorilla noise. How do you? I can't do it. I can't get into it. You know what I'm trying to do when they make that noise. You need to get out of practice.
No, go on.
Wow. You know what I'm trying to do with the chimpanzee?
No.
Yeah, where they make that like continuous noise.
No, I don't, Lucy. Oh, God.
What were your grizzly bear would win?
All right, so we've had a question come in. What is the most dangerous situation that the two of you have been in together?
Together?
Yeah. Does anything spring to mind?
I think we've been in that many together.
No, we don't think we've ever been in any dangerous situations together.
Oh, that's a flop.
I've been in singularly dangerous situations.
Yeah, go on. Let's hit on this.
Ski mountaineering with my father.
Yeah, probably.
When we went, it was very silly, really. We had to walk along this ice, like, thing to summit it. And he was like, oh, a couple of months ago, two people died falling off this. And I roped to dad thinking, well, if I go, you go.
Were you not in a particularly dangerous situation in Australia when you were driving along a beach or something like that?
Yeah, kind of. I wouldn't say it was dangerous. It was more just like, oh my God, we need to get to the boat. Yeah. There was like, we went to Fraser Island, there was bushfires on the island and we were driving next to them. But we didn't feel, they weren't, it didn't feel dangerous. Your car crashed, but you weren't with me.
No.
Danger. Danger. I think honestly, the ski mountaineering stuff is probably where I put myself in the most danger.
Yeah.
Because it's Mother Nature. If she wants to erupt an avalanche, you can't do anything about it.
Okay, so we do have one question that's come in. Do you have any advice for taking rest days when it is extremely difficult for me mentally to take one? You got any advice?
I think maybe ask yourself, you need to dig deeper and ask, why is it so hard for you to take a rest day? You actually need to answer that question yourself. We will advise you, do take rest days to be the best version of yourself. You need to have a real sit down and think, why am I so against rest days? There'll be a trigger and a reason. Potentially it might be to do with calories, food, feel like you're going to put fat on. I think that's one of the biggest causes of people not taking rest days. They feel they're going to get behind, when actually taking rest days is very beneficial.
So I think there's two sides to this argument. One is, yeah, digging into the deeper reasons of asking yourself, why? Why is the reason that I'm struggling to take a rest day? But for some people that might be because working out makes me happy. It gets endorphin released, makes me feel good. And if you're training for that reason, is because when you put yourself through the washer, i.e. when you go for a workout, you come out the other side feeling a lot better, then train every single day. But if you're doing it because you feel like I need to expend more energy, or I need to expend calories, or I'm going to get fat if I don't work out, or I'm going to lose muscle tissue if I don't work out, which is quite a common thing, by the way, then they're the kind of questions that you need to ask yourself. And science and applying science usually will negate a lot of those questions that you're asking of yourself. And what I mean by that is not training for, you'd have to train for, not train for over 4 weeks to lose muscle tissue. If you start accumulating body fat just from not working out, again, it's not going to happen super quickly. In terms of putting on 1 pound of body fat, you'll need to be 3,000 calories over your maintenance calories. And if you're in a deficit anyway, it's going to take some doing. So simply not doing a training session for a day is not going to have any impact on that. So if you start to stop viewing things with a magnifying glass and start to use a telescope, i.e. take a step back and have some context, it'll probably help you quite a lot in getting too caught up and being too close to a problem. And a lot of the time, if you're following a training program, it's very easy to take rest days because you're just literally following what's in front of you instead of making it up. I think a lot of people start to second guess themselves when they don't have something in front of them, me included, because you'll just be going through the motions and trying to train every day. I mean, I train most days, but even on some of those days, they will be training days where there'll be a super easy run or a session on the bike, which is really low intensity or low RPE. They're fine to sometimes do. We sometimes refer to these as active rest days. Yeah, I think that'd be my take on it. I mean, I took a rest day yesterday, and I tend to take a lot of my rest days either when I'm ill or when I'm super busy, and it'll be more flexy rather than scheduled in, which is why we introduced on the MyCoach app a feature where you can move your rest days around and your training days around. So your rest days are still in there. However, you can move them around to fit your week.
I was just going to say, regarding my coach, and we probably will go back and tell you at the start of the podcast, our Black Friday launches.
Is now live.
It is now live. Oh my God, we didn't even tell you. You can get the quarterly membership. The quarterly membership is already discounted heavily. And we're giving you another 50% on top of the quarterly membership. So you can get 3 months on MyCoach for £45, which is honestly ludicrous. And I didn't actually know that that was the offer until I landed back home. And I thought, that is absolutely insane. That is incredible. And yeah, you can use the code. What is the code?
BF50. This is the biggest discount that we've ever done.
And probably ever will do.
And it will never be this again. Yeah, I don't know why we've done it, to be honest, because usually our membership is £40 per month.
I questioned it when I got home.
So you're literally getting 2 months for £5.
Yeah. That's, yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's insane. Yeah.
We might even take it down earlier because that's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Anyway. I wasn't here to make that decision, but here we are, getting 50% off the quarterly membership, which is absolutely wild. So make sure you hit the link below. Get it whilst it's there, because it's not going to happen again. You'll get 3 months.
When, Carl?
Friday at 7 p.m.
Oh, yeah. So 48 hours. 24 hours. 24 hours?
Is it not?
48 hours.
Oh, so Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday.
Saturday at 7 p.m. Sorry, my fault.
48 hours, get yourself involved. If you've got any questions, drop them on the podcast or DM my coach or DM myself and Ben individually.
That will also get you access to the start of the New Year challenge. It's always our biggest one of the year.
It's all happening.
It is.
Which actually means if anyone's doing High Rocks, you can get 3 months worth of High Rocks coaching for £45.
Yeah. Which, if you were to go to a personal trainer, how much are you looking at for 3 months of High Rocks coaching?
600 quid, yeah. 200 a month maybe. I mean, we do one-to-one, so we also know that. That is insane behaviour. Get yourself involved, BF50. You can get it below.
Indeed. And I think that's the end of this week's episode.
Yeah, it is.
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet and snappy. Next week will be myself, Megan, being interviewed by Ben for the Everest Base Camp and Abu Dhabi Base Camp.
Well, episode.
Can't breathe properly. Episode, which is so exciting. We're very, very excited for that one. Stay tuned. Thank you for listening to the podcast. We did not miss an episode whilst I was away for 3 weeks. I feel like that deserves a review.
Yeah.
And it also, what's that word? Also deserves a follow on Spotify, wherever you are.
Hit the notification bell.
Absolutely.
On YouTube to be notified of new episodes.
Yep. And on that note, we will see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.